Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, folks, to Hamp's Corner of America, a corner where your host, Codis Hampton II, hangs out with notable guests discussing topics of interest to you and yours. Milwaukee's 13th and Juno is where our host grew up, where his creativity and his imagination originated. Hamp's Corner of America is where we discuss, debate, and innovate. In the end, we will all leave with a sense of purpose. So come on, hang out with us. And now your host, Codis Hampton II.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Hamp. Here at the corner, we're pleased that you're taking the time to check us out. We are old school here, without disregarding the contributions of hip-hop to our current state of being. You will find that we often refer back to our past, as we do believe that if you do not know where you came from, you most certainly will not get to where you want to go. It is our hope that you will hang with us and our guest of the hour, and even contribute to the discussion, so that we may leave here having gained, or at the very least, enhanced our perspective on the topics of today. And by all means, have fun while doing so. Without further ado, let's get deep into it. Hello, 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 folks. Welcome to the show. I'm glad you're taking the time to join us. This program is brought to you by Hamp's Corner of America parent company, The Chill Group. You can check us out at www.chiia.com, where you will also find how to order my latest book entitled Gracie Hall Hampton, The Arkansas Years, 1917 to 1953. You can also find my blogs on a regular basis at www.katara-rhythm.com. That's katara-rhythm.com. All songs played during the show are available at your musical online sites or local stores. Our This, That, and Say What editorial for the show is entitled Stop the Madness. In this day and age, our headlines are screaming, California Highway Patrolman beats woman on the freeway, policeman kills a New York family man by placing him in a choke hold, a Missouri cop shoots and kills a young black man for no apparent reason other than the deceased and his friend was walking down the middle of a trafficless street, or something like an innocent six-year-old killed while practicing piano lessons in their home, suffering from a gunshot wound that went astray. In addition, some 30 states have adopted stand-your-ground laws in some form or fashion, including Wisconsin and California. Sometimes called shoot first, variations of the law were adopted by the voters, while in other locales, like California, it has been more of a judicial application rather than established in a law. There is no state where the terms and interpretation of the law has been more publicized in strange yet violent ending cases than Florida. Self-defense claims triple in the years following its 2005 enactment. That particular state, hotly debated stand-your-ground law, was put under a microscope during the shoot-and-death trial of Trayvon Martin by the defendant, George Zimmerman. This, even though the defense did not base its case on the controversial law. There was the Florida case of a man shooting another in a movie theater, and yet another killing of a teen at a gas station by another customer because the car in which the teen was sitting, music was too loud. And then a reversal of sorts. This is the case where a woman was given 20 years for firing 3 warning shots. Thank God she has been recently released and will be given a new trial. The flaw in the law, or should I say the attempted use of it, also came under scrutiny in a recent case occurring in a small, mostly white suburb. Last November, a Dearborn Heights, Michigan white man opened his storm door, shot and killed a 19-year-old black woman through his locked screen door. She was standing on his doorstep after knocking on his door in an attempt to get permission to use a phone because she was involved in a late-night traffic accident. He told authorities he thought someone was trying to break in the house before opening fire with a shotgun. He says his gun accidentally discharged. The man's lawyer says he was justified in shooting the young lady, says while Michigan law states there is no duty to retreat if you are in your own home, lawful self-defense requires an honest and reasonable belief of imminent death or imminent great bodily harm. Based upon that theory, the man has been arrested and charged with second-degree murder, manslaughter, and use of a gun during a felony. The judge in the case set the bail at $250,000, and the case went to trial. On August 8th, a Michigan jury convicted Theodore Wafer of second-degree murder, manslaughter, and possession of a firearm while committing a felony. Justice prevailed. Although the victim, Renisha McBride, lost her life and her family still suffers from that loss. Then there are the everyday cases of gunfights erupting in restaurants, community parks, playgrounds, retail stores, even in our children's classrooms. Pick a city or urban area. Even though the crime statistics are down this year, or so they say, we still have the innocent dying from stray gunfire. We still have thugs in our neighborhoods who think nothing of pulling a loaded weapon and firing it at someone over reasons that don't make sense to a fed-up community. Sometimes it's the very young playing with firearms found in their home. They're taking it to school to show their little friends. That is the subject matter of our show today. In full support of the Black Women for Positive Change upcoming National Week of Nonviolence during the August 16th through 23rd, the BW4PC's mission is to change our country's culture of violence. We will take a look backward to start the dialogue on moving forward with a medley of songs from a favorite artist of mine and yours. Here is Marvin Gaye.
To die. Oh, made me wanna holler, waiting. Don't go and talk about my father. God is my friend. For when we call on him for mercy, he'll be merciful.
I would say those words and meaning fit our lifestyles of today, just as it did back in the day. I want to bring on our special guest of the day. She is a lady who has tirelessly worked with her community chair members to make this National Week of Nonviolence happen. I have to confess, with her busy schedule, she could not make it for our live show, so we did the next best thing. We taped a telephone interview with her Monday before last. Frankly, we talked as if she was sitting right here at the corner with me. That is because she is very passionate about what the Black Women for Positive Change are doing. Without further ado, here is my person-to-person interview with Stephanie Myers, co-chair of Black Women for Positive Change, sponsors of the National Week of Nonviolence. Good evening, Dr. Myers. I'm so glad to have you as a guest on our show.
Well, thank you very much. It's my pleasure to be with you.
Oh, good. We are also honored to help you in our small way to champion such a worthy cause. I want to have a few questions for you tonight, the first of which is more of a request. Will you give our listeners a warm and fuzzy about who the Black Women for Positive Change are? Okay.
My husband is the original good brother.
Okay.
And so we are a network of women and men around the country in 15 states.
Oh.
Even though our name is Black Women for Positive Change, we have people in our network who are not black.
Okay.
So we are very pleased that as we have evolved over the last couple of years, we have people from the Nation's Mosque here in Washington, D.C. Mom Talib Sharif is a part of our network.
Mm-hmm.
We have Christian pastors from the AME, Baptist, Methodist, Unitarian churches.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Jewish religion represented by Rabbi Batya Steinlauf for the Jewish Community Council.
Okay.
We have really become an interfaith, intergender, interage network of people working together.
Oh, that just sounds terrific. I know that some of the, you know, the headlines and all that stuff sort of got you guys started on this venture. When did you actually start as an organization?
We actually started in 2012, and you're exactly right. We were a political organization, and then we decided to transition into a civic group. And when Trayvon Martin got shot, like so many of us in the country, we were absolutely devastated. Then this beautiful young lady from Chicago came to Washington to march in President Obama's inauguration.
Mm-hmm.
And when she went back to Chicago, she was killed by a stray bullet.
Oh, boy, yeah.
And those incidents caused us to do some research and find out what the heck is going on here. Because you hear about violence on the news, but we had no idea that violence was the second reason why black youth lose their lives in this country.
Hmm.
At the ages of 14 and 21.
Boy.
And we had no idea that in America, kids and teenagers from all racial backgrounds are 17 more times likely to die from gun violence than 25 other countries in the world.
Yeah.
17 times more.
Jesus.
So as we began to research this data, we became extremely alarmed about the way that violence is operating in the country and in the world and on black children.
Mm-hmm.
Here we found, just doing more research, we found that black kids, our kids, and Latino kids, they're like 5 times more likely to be killed by guns than white kids in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So as we got into learning this data, we said, you know, we got a problem.
Yeah.
And then we realized that the media doesn't really cover it anymore. Because
mm-hmm.
it's not news.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much killing going on of our kids, it's not news.
Yeah.
So we didn't really know the enormity of the issue that was going on right in our own community.
Mm-hmm.
So once we really got a grip on it, we decided, okay, we're going to address this issue of violence. We need to change the culture of violence. We need to change the way people think
mm-hmm.
about this whole business of violence.
Mm-hmm.
Really where we are right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's the crux of the matter, actually changing the thought processes of you know, because, you know, our films depict violence and, you know. So, yeah, I think that's the correct way to go about it. That's for sure.
Absolutely. And you have a man out there in Northern California,
mm-hmm.
San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
Joseph Marshall.
Yes.
And he's going to be here in Washington on August 23rd for the National Summit on Nonviolence.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a concept where he tells young people, don't do anything that won't keep you alive and free.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't make any decision that threatens being alive and free.
Yes, yes.
So we're really looking forward to Dr. Marshall being here because he's had a lot of success taking kids who've been involved in juvenile delinquency and foster care. And I think he's graduated over 200 young people from his program,
mm-hmm,
Live
mm-hmm.
and Free.
Yeah, yeah.
We're trying to find models that we can share with other cities.
Mm-hmm.
We're working with a number of cities. We're working with the city of Pittsburgh. And there's a group up there called the Black Empowerment Project.
Mm-hmm.
And they have written a whole book on ways that you can intervene in communities on the violence, and they've
mm-hmm.
done a really wonderful job. So we're really just trying to find examples of where people have found things that are working
mm-hmm.
so we can share that information at the National Summit on Nonviolence, which we will be having on the 23rd in Washington, D.C.
Right, right. Well, I think that's great, yeah. Another question I have, is it too late to register for hosting an event during the August 16th through the 23rd National Week of Nonviolence?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
And really, I really hope that the people listening to this show, what we want as an event is for a grandmother to sit down with her grandchildren and talk about nonviolence.
Well, I think that's wonderful.
That's an event to us.
Yeah.
An uncle to sit down with his nieces and nephews or the kids in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Have a conversation. It doesn't have to be 500 people in a big room. How about 5 people in a small room?
Exactly.
We have to change this step by step right where we are.
Mm-hmm.
On blackwomenforpositivechange.org, on the website,
mm-hmm.
there's a calendar there, and we invite people to just tell us what you're doing. You don't
mm-hmm.
have to tell us what your address is or what
mm-hmm.
time you're going to do it. Just say the Jones family conversation on nonviolence in Oakland on Tuesday, August, whatever, you know?
Oh, I think that's wonderful.
That's what we're looking for. Now, that's not to say we don't want the churches. We want the recreation centers, small businesses. It would be so wonderful if a small business, a barbershop, would declare that they're going to have a day of nonviolence during the week of nonviolence
mm-hmm.
from August 16th to the 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
How about all the barbershops in Oakland? You know, talking about, like, you go to the barbershop or the beauty shop and everybody's talking. Well,
mm-hmm.
why not make the conversation about Dr. Martin Luther King?
Exactly.
That's that Nelson Mandela.
Yeah.
You know, these are men who went through enormous, enormous violence that was perpetrated on them.
Mm-hmm.
They never picked up a gun and shot anybody.
Yeah.
They would.
Yep.
So the power of having mental control, and that's what we want our young people to know, and also adults who think that they're being hip. You know, I was reading your blog that you wrote earlier about how everybody's so hip. And they're
going to
stand their ground, and they're not going to let anybody mess with them.
Right.
Well, how is it so hip when you're in a basket?
Exactly.
What do you think about that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't think that people realize when they get involved in gun battle and they get shot, their mothers, their fathers, their family, they suffer for the rest of their lives at the loss of this loved one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You love your family, and then go jump out in the street and get yourself hurt.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I see that your organization focused quite heavily on local schools. Is the idea to teach the young how to manage their anger?
Absolutely. We have to teach young people how to control their emotions. We have this thing in America where people talk about venting. Positive change is we're saying, come on, young folks, you guys can write some new music.
Mm-hmm.
You can write some new rap.
Mm-hmm.
Black people have transformed the world with hip-hop and rap.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what Jay-Z and Kanye and all the different ones have done.
Mm-hmm.
Tupac Shakur and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how about if the same hip-hoppers and rappers that are listening to us talk right now, how about you guys go out there and write some stuff about getting along?
Exactly.
Write some material about love and taking care of your families and your kids.
Yeah.
So we're going to have a harmony jam, Codis, and it's going to be live streamed.
Oh.
It's going to be live streamed on Saturday, August 23rd at 4 o'clock East Coast time. So that's 1 o'clock for you.
Okay.
And you'll be able to go to blackwomenforpositivechange.org, and we will have the live stream link up there. And it's going to be a one-hour live concert of young people performing positive, optimistic hip-hop, rap, and song.
Oh, I think that's great, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're so excited. We've had the rehearsals, and these are kids between the ages of 14 and 24.
Oh, great. Oh, boy.
They're writing their own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they're good.
And that's what a creativity is just fiber hot, so to speak.
Yes. So we can do this.
Uh-huh.
I mean, look at this young man, Sarah Pharrell, in Virginia Beach.
Yeah.
Pharrell wrote Happy, right?
Yep, yep.
Everybody all over the world is dancing to Happy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That shows what can happen.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
And then some people say, well, you can't make any money with that stuff. Well, they're wrong. Pharrell's making a whole lot of money.
Exactly. They're proving them wrong. Right, right.
Proving them wrong.
That's right. Is this the first National Week of Nonviolence, or are you hope for a yearly event?
Well, this is the second year.
Second year.
Yes, we did it last year. We had the National Day of Nonviolence last year on August 22nd, 2013.
Okay.
And then this year we decided to go with the Week of Nonviolence, which we talked about from the 16th to the 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what will happen next.
Okay.
We're just kind of taking it day by day.
All right.
Because we know that people need to talk with their grandkids and the kids in the neighborhood every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Not just one week out of the year.
Exactly, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, my goal is really to just kind of get it out there. And I really hope that as a result of your show, people will call you and tell you, we're going to have a block party.
Yeah.
Or we're going to have a backyard.
Yeah.
We're going to sit down and talk about what nonviolence can mean in our community.
Yeah, yeah.
Wouldn't it be beautiful if Oakland were the leader in this area?
Oh, yeah. You better believe it. Yeah, that's right.
Now, Oakland has a tradition of bringing about change.
Mm-hmm.
We know back in the 60s, when we were engaged in the struggle and we had the political power going on,
mm-hmm.
there was a lot of leadership that Oakland provided to the whole country.
Yeah.
Now, some of that leadership wasn't always good.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it was good.
Mm-hmm.
And Oakland could decide, we want to become a peaceful community.
Yeah.
And when the gangs want to argue about something, okay, go to the football field and work it out.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. But there are other ways to challenge. That's the point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But see, I believe that our generation, Cody, I believe that this generation of young people are among the most brilliant black people to ever walk on the planet Earth.
Yep.
They know every little technology, every smartphone, every tablet. They know how to work the entire technology system.
Yep, and as you just and as you're alluding to, the tools are there for them to aid them in any way possible.
Absolutely. They've got everything at their fingertips.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that your kids, grandkids,
mm-hmm.
every opportunity to go to school,
mm-hmm.
worked hard, made sure they had books to read.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's their turn to take leadership.
That's right.
And, you know, as some of us become senior citizens, we want to have nice, safe communities.
Right, right.
You know, we want to come out in the evening.
Right.
And just see people out there grooving and getting along
mm-hmm.
and having a wonderful time.
Yeah, not having your child playing in the front yard and be subject to some wild gunfight or something. Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah.
One other thing, Codis, I wanted to mention is we have support from a number of governors
Okay.
So really, really excited about that, because we have the governor of Tennessee, the governor of Missouri, Maryland, Illinois. Governors have endorsed the National Week of Nonviolence. And we have the mayor here in the District of Columbia, Mayor of Alexandria, Virginia. So we're really calling out to elected officials, saying that you guys have a role too.
Right.
Well, we really need their leadership, and so in Oakland, we need to have the elected officials around your town step up also. Okay, we want to be included.
I'm going to send this information to my church, and I tend to think that you guys will be around next year for another week myself. So I think it's I think this is just a tip of the iceberg.
Well, I hope so, Curtis, but you know, we're all volunteers.
Yeah.
We're not being paid, and we're trying to raise money to for this whole thing.
Right.
It's hard. Because, you know, Curtis, there is a silence about violence. People don't want to talk about it. It's like you're bringing up an ugly subject or the skunk to the party.
Right.
And that makes it tough. Because we're finding people kind of turn their backs and say, I don't want to talk about that.
And then
it's hard.
But then it's almost like, you know, the guy who's on TV yelling, I hate the government, I hate the government, until there's a some type of disaster in his neighborhood, then he wants FEMA.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wait for the government to get there
fast. Right. So I think people's minds are changing, you know. We just can't, we can't continue to look and see five-year-olds falling by the wayside because somebody was shooting at somebody else, and you know, it just don't make sense.
Absolutely. I mean, look at what's going on in Chicago. It's insane. They had something like 80 shootings over the 4th of July holiday. Shooting being shot, innocent children. It's ridiculous. And these are our children being shot.
That's right.
And that, all that does is it makes our group of African Americans and our ancestors work so hard. Survive slavery. And can you imagine surviving something 200, 300 years only to find your great-great-great-grandchildren just throw their lives away?
Oh, I just can't. I just can't fathom that at all. That's too much for me to even think about.
That's what's going on. And so, you know, we're glad to have the governors involved and all of that. Now, we have a film on our website, blackwomenforpositivechange.org, and this film is something that we wrote and produced ourselves.
And that's the one entitled On Second Thought?
On Second Thought. That's exactly it. Called it that because we want people to have a second thought before they go out to hurt somebody. Now, they can go on the website, and they'll see a poster there that says On Second Thought, and they can click on the poster and go to YouTube. They can look at the film free. This is 15 minutes. And we hope that people in schools, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, look at the film. If you're an adult, show this film and then have a conversation with the young people afterwards. And I got to tell you, these conversations are heavy.
I can believe it,
The film is based on a true story. It's based on a story of a love triangle in Boston. Two little girls pregnant by the same guy.
Boy.
And a young man was a basketball star. And he and one of the girls conspired to take out the other girl. And they did it.
Jesus Christ.
And then we take the film and we run it backwards and say, now how could it have happened differently? So we really hope people will look at On Second Thought and think about this stuff. Don't get caught up in the emotion of stuff. So work things out. You know, sure, it's difficult. Life is difficult. But our lives today are not nearly as difficult as what our ancestors had to go through.
Well, I tell you. That story sort of reminds me of a story that happened in my hometown, which is in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And I think that was about 3 or 4 years ago. And while I was back there taking care of some business evidently this girl and her boyfriend, decided to go by this old boyfriend's house and shoot him because this girl was upset with him. Now, imagine the boy going along with the girl. This is just mind-boggling to me.
Mind-boggling. And then what happened after they did it? They both went to jail for the rest of 20, 30 years?
Exactly. Yeah.
How ignorant is that?
Yeah. It just don't make sense.
School is no game.
Yeah.
And what a lot of people don't realize, they go to prison. They can be shipped. They're being shipped because people are making profit off of them. It's up in prison. Now, how does that make sense?
That's the whole thing, and, this bravado and all. It just doesn't make sense. And there's no happy endings here.
No, there's no happy endings. There's a lot of heartbreak, a lot of mothers and fathers with a lot of tears. That's not the future we want to see.
No.
We want to see a future where our young people are able to be globalists, they can be leaders, they can move around the world and change the world. They can create wonderful environments for their children and for their elders. We want to have a celebration world.
And that's why organizations like yours are so important, and these type of events.
Well, we certainly appreciate your support. We really do, Curtis. And I know you've been sending blogs over to England, and one of the things that we want people to realize is it's not just an American issue.
Right.
It's an international issue. And even though we're calling it the National Week of Nonviolence, we really mean the National International Week.
Right.
We have a sister over in England, and she's working to get the word out over there. And look at what's going on in Syria. In the Middle East, and Hamas. And in the Ukraine. I mean, there's just violence all over the place. And we don't even know where those 200 little girls that were kidnapped from Nigeria, where are they?
Slavery still in the works.
So we've got a lot of problems that we need to resolve here in America and around the world. We can't do it all.
No.
The government can't do it all. President Obama, he's doing as much as he can. He's working as hard as he can to resolve some of these issues. But the citizens have to step up.
That's right. It's up to us and what kind of community we want to have.
That's right. Yeah. It's up to us and how we want to do it. Curtis, we really do reach out to people. If anyone listening would like to make a donation, they can go on the website and click donate. No amount is too small. Because believe me, when you're self-financing something like we're trying to do, we appreciate things like postage stamps.
Exactly. I understand. We need a little bit of help.
We don't have a government grant. We're doing this independently because we want to speak the truth of what we see.
That's right.
Sometimes when you take a lot of government money, you have to adhere to certain guidelines. The government has to be very careful. Spending the taxpayers' money.
Yeah, exactly.
But if we self-finance as African-American people and as people who want to see change,
take it out this afternoon or later on tonight, anyway. Let me ask you one more question. For any of our listeners who may be interested in joining and becoming a member of Black Women for Positive Change, can you provide a website or a point of contact?
Well, they can come on to the website, and there's a place where you can fill out an inquiry. And then they can call the website, and they can let us know. We do have an annual dues, but it's very modest. Most people at $75. We have a student membership at $25. But we try not to turn anybody away for some money. We don't want that to be a barrier. So yes, we do invite people to join. We're looking for people who are activists. We're not looking for people who just want to take a ride. We're looking for people who are willing to work and who are willing to work with their own communities and their own neighborhoods. There are a lot of people out there like that. So good brothers like yourself, women, people of African American heritage, white heritage, Latino, Asian, we don't care, Muslim, Christian, Jew, we just have a common goal, And our goal is to strengthen families in America and to change the culture of violence.
Okay. Finally, are there any last words you would like to leave with our audience?
Well, I think that what you're doing, Coda Camden, is wonderful, and everybody's a communicator.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe somebody doesn't want to step up and be a leader of anything, but they might want to send out 25 emails.
Yeah.
And so on August 23rd, we will have the National Summit on Nonviolence in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
We hope to have it live streamed.
Mm-hmm.
The Harmony Jam will definitely be live streamed at 4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
The whole day might be live streamed also
mm-hmm.
if you get the resources to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So we invite people to watch it, listen to it, learn from it, share it with their friends and colleagues, support it, make a donation, get involved.
Okay. That's a good final step and advice for everybody. So we'll certainly promote it from this end, and we're looking forward to it.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very
much. Oh, and thank you for being the honored guest, Dr. Myers. I really appreciate your help and enlightenment.
Okay, thank you.
All right, you have a great day.
All right, you too.
I'll see you later.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, after hearing that, you can pretty much anticipate that anything Dr. Myers take a notion to champion is going to be successful. I am sure she would tell you she is not alone in this project, and as you heard, there are a lot of people who are giving of their time and effort for no pay. That's N-O-P-A-Y, no pay, mind you, to address an issue that is one of, if not the primary concern in our community. While we absorb what we just heard, let's take a break. For now, let's listen to the title cut by Pieces of a Dream from their CD of the same name, In the Moment. Thank you. pieces of a dream in the moment. As Dr. Myers alluded to in the interview, we have an organization here in the Bay Area that is doing wonderful things when it comes to providing an outlet for our young folks to grow, learn, and mature. The name of the organization is Stay Alive and Free and can be reached at www.stayaliveandfree.org, all one word. You can click on their website and see their mission statement, which reads as follows: to keep young people alive and free, unharmed by violence and free from incarceration, to provide young people with opportunity and support to build positive lives for themselves and to move into contributing roles in society, end of quote. I would advise that if you are a teen or parent of a teen in the Bay Area and are looking for guidance in helping your young student cope with the street life knocking on your youngster's door, give Stay Alive and Free a call. The hours of operation, 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. The direct telephone line is 415-826-8664. Fax number, if you need it, 415-826-8673. The street address is 1060 Tennessee Street, San Francisco, California, 94107. Again, that telephone number is 415-826-8664. And once again, that website is www.stayaliveandfree.org. It promises to be well worth your while. The next National Nonviolence Week public announcement is from actress Rita Gray. She is from Betty White's television program, the hilarious Off the Their Rockers. It will be followed by another cut from Pieces of a Dream. It's again from their In the Moment CD entitled Misty Eyed.
Hi, I'm Rita Gray from Betty White's Off Their Rockers. On television, I play pranks on young people, but the acts of violence committed by young people every day in this country are no joke. Check out On Second Thought, a riveting video based on a true story about three young people, their actions, and what happened on Second Thought. If you're an adult, watch this video with a young person. If you're a young person, share it on social media. Let's help change the culture of violence in our cities. To see On Second Thought, go to www.blackwomenforpositivechange.org. Also support the National Week of Nonviolence, August 16th through 23rd. For more information, go to www.blackwomenforpositivechange.org.
Thank you.
what I'm talking about. I don't know about you, but that's what calms my nerves. Good music. All right, that was Misty Eyed by Pieces of a Dream. I want to bring on a favorite guest and friend of mine, David Nelson. You may remember he was on our last show as author of If the United States Had Lost a Civil War. We told you at the time he is the creator of the Civic Mentor along with his web presence outlet, the Civic Mentor Bulletin Board. Within that vast source of national and local community hookup, so to speak, is a section on domestic violence. That is what he will introduce you to now. How are you, David?
Oh, I'm great, Codas. Thank you for having me on. I just really love what you're doing.
Oh, no problem, no problem. Will you tell our audience what is available and how they can access your section on domestic violence?
Oh, certainly. And basically, the Civic Mentor system, the whole idea is vast. It covers the whole totality of human existence. And I know that sounds grandiose, but really it can be done. Any complexity can be, it's just quantity. And you just have to reduce the parts until they're simple and manageable. And I believe our entire lives are like that. So what the Civic Mentor does is it takes one aspect of it is concerned with all our social problems. And I've begun and I published an inventory of all the social problems. It's not complete by any stretch of the imagination. I've got about 150 problems, but I'm looking, and I expect thousands. But we can grab hold of all these things. It can be done. Let's take the issue of domestic violence. That really is a subset of violence, which is a broad thing, and we have concerns in all of the areas. And I think as human beings, basically, we want to get rid of any unwarranted violence, and even up to including war, which there are ways we can really be very rational about that topic. And But let's get back down to domestic violence. One of the things on the social inventory is domestic violence is listed as one of the major concerns for us. And a citizen, any human being who is rational, wants to make the best possible situation for themselves. And to do that, it's helpful if you have a list of all the social ills in front of you, and then you can pick and choose those things that resonate with you and go, hey, I can do something about that. Where can I get more information? You just click the name of, say, domestic violence that you want, and it takes you into the other issues. I have several bulletins on my bulletin board, In fact, let me give a breather. Do you want me to stop for a minute so that you – am I clear
no,
so far
right
where
ahead.
I am?
No. Go right. You're doing fine.
Oh, okay, my friend. Okay, so take the issue of domestic violence. There's a bulletin on that. I call all these things bulletins. And if you go to my civicmentor.net site, it will bring you to the various bulletin boards I have in place. I do have in mind hundreds of them. And these bulletin boards, each of those are in front of whole entire subsystems that will all reduce down to the average citizen's desk. And they go to one place, Civic Mentor, and they will find their own personalized mentor. They click it open, and they can find the issues that they have adopted from the master list and so forth. So anyway, getting back to this master bulletin board, I've got an article about domestic violence, and that discusses the issue, the definitions. It gives you a research plan so that when you begin to think about how am I going to deal with the issues of domestic violence, it gives you 8 questions you may want to ask. Let me pop it open here. I've got these papers. Here we go. Things a person wants to know. What should a person or persons do if they are in a victimizing situation? So I pictured the poor woman who doesn't who's faced with some horrendous, unpleasant thing in the place where she's supposed to be, feels most safe inside her home or her children. Or even on the other side of that, there are men who are aggravated and pushed and tormented by women who are in their own mental upheaval. And what do they do about it? They can't smack her. I mean, you know, that turns the table around. But how do they deal with this? So it's an idea of looking at the whole picture. But we know, as a fact of life, that it's mostly women and children who are suffering the worst end of this. And it's they who probably need the most urgent rescue. So take, for example, this bulletin board and this bulletin on domestic violence. A lot more are going to be coming, and they're going to become more and more focused on exactly what I can do in each situation. So your listeners who are in this unpleasant situation can visit the Civic Mentor, go to the bulletin board, look up domestic violence. I'm going to make it a lot easier later, but right now this project is vast, and I've got all these pieces that I'm pulling together. But I'm trying to put them out as fast as I can because I think they're instantly useful. I think that if people come and explore the bulletin board, they will find something there that resonates with their lives. And that's going to happen more and more as I finish my project.
Okay. And did you say there were eight reasons there that a person, or eight questions a person could ask themselves if they, you know,
yes,
think they're in a domestic violent situation?
Right, right. I've tried to look at give myself, say, a 10,000-foot view and look down on the situation. And here are some of the things I think we want to know. Number one, what should a person or person do who's in a victimizing situation? In other words, the victims. What should a person do if they're not sure they're being victimized? Maybe things are unpleasant and hot, but you're not sure whether it falls under the categories of abuse. Well, you can look and see what we have to say on that. What does the victimizer himself, surely a person who does these things in the heat of the moment, after the fact, probably feels a lot of regret and would like to stop, but doesn't know how to stop. So what does the victimizer himself do about to stop himself from victimizing? Then we take a look at what should others do to make the victimizer stop? And what can they do to help him or him mostly stop? And what about the people who are in the outer family?
Right.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying these are next-door neighbors or people who happen to know people who are in those situations. They can help as well, is what you're alluding to.
Thank you, yes. You know, even if you're becoming suspicious, and a lot, you know, in the way our culture is kind of set up, you say, I mind my own business, you know, I see it, oh, it's sad, but I can't do anything. Yes, you can, and you have certain duties, too. You have certain rights, but what are they? And how can you do it tactfully so that you don't make the situation worse? So I bring the next point. What should the outer family, we're talking about the inner family, they have their own strategies they have to work out. But the outer family, the neighbors, the friend and acquaintanceship circles, when they become suspicious of domestic violence or actually witness it, what should they do about it? And then how about the innocent bystanders who don't know any of the people involved, but who just see, who in the course of life know, hey, there's something wrong over there, you know. How can they help it? Or if they witness something happen in public, what should they do? And then finally, what should society as a whole do to help defeat this thing once and for all? Because we humans are self-correcting, self-improving. We're always maturing until the day we stop breathing. So we can all, unless there's something mentally, there's a mental problem or a physical problem that overwhelms this generalization, but as we grow, as we learn, we work out our strategies for living a good life, and then we can pass these on to the next generations, always so that our main goal toward the end of our lives to look back and say, my gosh, I helped make this world a better place than when I found it. And I believe all of us would I've experienced great joy with that knowledge, and it's possible and it's doable.
Mm-hmm. I think you have a lot of links on that site where a person can actually go and get professional help as well, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. In fact, I don't set myself up as an expert in all these fields. I by the process of studying them intently and analyzing and what have you, and listening to experts and what have you, I do develop an expertise. But I set myself more as one of my favorite sayings is, give me a fish, I'll eat for a day. Teach me how to fish, and I'll eat for a lifetime. So this bulletin of domestic violence, if you go down into the literature section, it gives you a Google search. That saves you a few keystrokes. Click it. It automatically opens up a Google search for you, and you can see a whole wealth of choices that fit your particular situation. And then under that, Wikipedia itself has a nice discussion of domestic violence. And by clicking this open, it's all tried to put it to your fingertips so you don't have to reinvent the wheel. It's already thought out. Here are the things you want to look at. And so you come. And like this radio program, this wonderful program you did today, I will have a link into that so that people who heard wonderful things, but then the business of life made them forget this program, will see it when they're looking at the domestic violence issue. And they can click it open and listen to the recording or whatever. There's another one. There's a nice organization called the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence. And there are a whole host of them. So if people just remember the name of the site, it's called civicmentor.net. And if, don't put .com or you'll get all you need to know about Honda Civics. But if you do civicmentor.net, then and follow the instructions, it'll link you into the bulletin board, then look for domestic violence, and there it'll be.
Oh, good, good, good. Now, did you have an email address that people can contact you for any questions that you want to give out?
Oh, I do. Let me see. What I did so that people don't have to write everything down, on the fly, so to speak, and get things wrong. If you go to my main bulletin board, there's up on the menu bar, there's a contact me switch, and if you click that, it'll tell you all kinds of ways: Facebook, email, on the website itself, and I'm still setting up a business phone. But I'm at the public's disposal. I really want to help. I can see these problems, and I think all I need to do is be a catalyst and help organize things so that people can approach it in an orderly way, and they'll take care of the rest.
Yeah, yeah. I tell you, I looked at your segment here on domestic violence, and I looked at some of the organization that you had links to, as well as your expertise as to trying to help the person define what type of condition they're in or what type of issues they have. And I think it's well worth the person's while to click on this link, because I think this is, it's almost like going to the Costco of domestic violence. There's so much available to you that you'll just go, oh, well, wait a minute. You might get confused.
Oh, how beautifully put.
You want to go. But at least you have options, and that is what we're trying to portray here. There is options out here for anybody that's involved in domestic violence. Is that right?
Oh, well said. You're not alone out there, folks. There are people. There's a world of people who care about your situation. It makes sense. It's a matter of our own self-preservation. If you're struggling, if you are doing less than you possibly can because you live in an unfortunate domestically violent situation, you can't be your best for society. Look at all the things we lose when you are harmed. And look at the children who witness that and get that ingrained in their own socialization so that when they grow up, they repeat the pattern. We can break all this. Before we had the Internet, I'll point out, before we had that, these problems were too massive. But because the Internet is on the scene. It changes everything. Believe me, it is a major revolution. Look at us doing on the radio right now. You know, so we can solve these human problems. We just be systematic about them and get everybody working together. And I have ideas of how to get everybody working together, too.
Oh, yeah. And as you say, the Internet is what connects us as a nation, or for that matter, as in the world. Because
as a world,
we finally got a mechanism in place that you can contact anybody anywhere that has access to these type of units.
Absolutely. Brilliant. That's it. I agree. And the beauty of it, what excites me a lot, although there are various ways that we interface with it, one of them is that we do a lot of it by writing back and forth. And so there's no human person in between us, no body that we're looking at to distract us from the stuff that's pouring out of a person's soul. So we communicate soul to soul. There's a great honesty in that. And when that happens, then we find our common causes and we join together. Kindred. Look at how I fate has been so kind to me. Perfect chain reaction where I ran into you, and you have augmented me so much. You've magnified my ability to do this job. And it's these kinds of things that happen because we interact and discover each other.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, stay with us, David. I will come back to you. Do you mind staying around with us?
Oh, I'm enjoying the show, my friend.
Okay, hold on.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Aretha Gray from Betty White's Off Their Rockers. On television, I play pranks on young people. But the acts of violence committed by young people every day in this country are no joke. Check out On Second Thought, a riveting video based on a true story about three young people, their actions, and what happened on Second Thought. If you're an adult, watch this video with a young person. If you're a young person, share it on social media. Let's help change the culture of violence in our cities. To see On Second Thought, go to www.blackwomenforpositivechange.org. Also support the National Week of Nonviolence, August 16th through 23rd. For more information, go to www.blackwomenforpositivechange.org.
Replayed Aretha Gray's announcement again to bring attention to the 2014 National Summit on Nonviolence happening on the last day of the National Week of Nonviolence. It's an all-day summit on how violence attracts everyone, or affects everyone, I should say. It will be held at the Metropolitan AME Church in Washington, D.C., located at 1518 M Street, Northwest Washington, D.C., 20005. You can still pre-register for the 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time Summit at www.blackwomenforpositivechange.org, or you can send an email for full details to bkwomen4poschange@gmail.com. That's bkwomen4posange@gmail.com. As Dr. Martin Myers stated in her interview, this summit in D.C. is also sponsoring what they call the Positive Change Harmony Jam from 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock, featuring young folk performing nonviolent songs, poetry, rap, and dance routines. On August the 23rd, which is the last day of the National Nonviolence Week, the summit, you can get a live web stream of National Summit on Nonviolence. That's Saturday. The link to the webcast is www.ibroadcasts.tv/ bw4pc-2014.html. They'll have workshops and expert presentations, and they've got it here listed from 9 to 4, such as pathways to violence, retraining traumatized communities, mobilizing communities for violence prevention, and more. And then, of course, the one I alluded to from 4 to 5, the Positive Change Harmony Jam, featuring the young performers in rap, hip-hop, and step. Once again, that webcast link is ibroads.tv/bw4pc-2014.html. People and young folks doing their thing for our National Week of Nonviolence. That's the way to change the culture of violence in this country. We need to look out for each other. We can't be people who can no longer get involved. Why? Because the next one who is directly involved in some kind of senseless violence may be your family member or even you. You wouldn't want people turning their backs on you and your family. Are we our brother's keeper? I think so. God intended it to be so. India Ari thinks so, so much so, she wrote a song about it. Here is India Ari from her Songversation CD with Brother's Keeper. what I'm talking about. Remember those words. And we're back, David. I want to mention again the one of the organizations you have listed on your domestic violence section of the Civic Mentor. They are called Stand for Families Free of Violence. You're familiar with them, right? Yeah. By the fact, you were the one who told me about it. They have a Facebook presence at www.facebook.com/TANDFFOV. I would advise people, who might be in that situation to go to that particular site as well. They can go through domestic violence through the Civic Mentor segment, or they can go right to that Stand for Families Free of Violence themselves. So I did want to point that one out because that seems to be an organization that's been in force here for quite a while, and it's located here on the West Coast.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Well, yes. In fact, I was doing a little research today, going through the we're in Contra Costa County, and I was going over the Contra Costa government and looking through the district attorney for the county, who is concerned with domestic violence, and he makes reference to the Stand. It's called Stand for Families Free of Violence. And this is a wonderful organization that's been around quite a while. And that's it. You know, the whole idea of the Civic Mentor is to celebrate our humanity. And so I don't believe – I'll just make this real quick, Cotis. Oh, thank you, my friend. I don't believe my job is to do all this myself. I believe my job is to tell everybody who's out there, all these brilliant people who are ready and willing to help, people who are even willing to give money to you, if that's what you need. They are out there. And I want to celebrate them, give you links to them, let you see them all in one place so you can sit down almost like in a restaurant and picking and choosing as you plan your lives. And so Stand is definitely one. And also this conversation, you mentioned several good leads here. Rita Gray's message and the Stay Alive site and the Black Women for Positive Change. These I'm going to make a bulletin in the next few hours, probably by in the morning, I propose. Yeah. But I will repeat the information that you've had so it's there permanently. Because the bulletin board, stays there. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
You are right with me, David. Yeah, all I'm saying is you are right with me. See, I try to highlight the Civic Mentor because I know that you're on your job and you're out there doing a yeoman's job of trying to present the information for people to access. All they got to do is sit down and turn on their computer.
Thank you. Yeah, I have to. I'm in awe of our species. It's just the closer I look, the older I get, the more marvelous I realize it is. And these blemishes on us, we can fix.
Right. All right. Yeah. Did you have any other last thoughts or info about your domestic violence section?
No, I think it's pretty all laid there. If they come and look at the domestic violence section, and plus what I'll add based on what the radio program today, I'll put another bulletin up on that. And as I continue my work, more and more things as I come across them for domestic violence or people tell me things, I'll make sure it gets into a bulletin so that people who periodically check will see the progress.
And see, that's what we're hoping for. We're asking people out there to get in touch with David Nelson. He gave you his contact information, and I will soon give you my email. So we want people to talk back at us and tell us, hey, I know this case of such and such and so and so. Hey, the word snitch, in my opinion, should really be eliminated from our vocabulary. We don't have time.
Oh, I so agree. That is such a childish word.
Yeah. We need to be on our case here trying to help people, especially in our community. That's a whole new debate right there, so let me not open that up. But anyway, I want to thank you. Go ahead.
No, a snitch is something that comes out of prison, and we should not be following their lead. They should be following ours. CivicMentor.net, I just want to throw that out one more time.
All right. Oh, no, because I definitely have put it on Qatar Rhythm website as well as chia.com, because I think the Civic Mentor is an outstanding, it's just a wealth of information. It's almost, I won't compare it to Wikipedia today, but I tell you what, when we have you back in January of next year, we'll talk again, because you're doing wonderful things, Mr. Nelson, and you should be commended for it.
Thank you so much, Cody. I look forward to it, my friend.
All right, hold on then.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will leave it at that. As usual, any information that we give out can be found on our blog website, at the website I just mentioned, which is www.katara-rhythm.com. That's katararhythm.com. Or you can email me your questions or concerns at champtonii@yahoo.com. Again, that's champtonii@yahoo.com. Any questions you have about this show or any show, you can just say, drop me a line. I'll surely answer you. We want to thank our guest, Dr. Stephanie Myers, co-chair of Black Women for Positive Change, and author David Nelson from The Civic Mentor. As always, we meet here at the corner on a bi-monthly basis. I am your host, Curtis Hampton II. We will always sprinkle our show with 5 to 6 musical cuts from our favorite artists. I guess you know by now that I like music. So, hey, I'm just trying to keep you company here at the corner. By the way, please bear with us as we play around with our announced show lengths and start time. We began as an hour show, but I can tell you now that most shows would last just under 2 hours, depending upon the guest and topic. We do that to accommodate our guests, callers, and chat room communication, along with our musical play selections. So 2 hours is now our official cutoff time, although we do love the 90-minute time frame, so we will keep trying to get to that. We will maintain our 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time start time and Wednesday's bi-monthly schedule. Please join us again on Wednesday, August 27th at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. The topic, movies, cars, and things, interests of the African-American consumer. Details of our guests and other specifics will be available on our websites, including Facebook and Twitter, as well as other social media sites. If you can't join us while we are live, you can always tune in to our websites and listen to the show at your leisure. For now, peace. And thank God tonight for making it such a wonderful day and a more promising tomorrow. Take it easy and good night.